Hello again there, folks. So I've decided to get back into the YouTube game, or at least try, because I find that I've got a few things to say and I'm not actually saying them, and it can take a long time to write them down. My main platform is still going to be Substack, though. So if you like what I do and what I have to say about things, everything I do is on Substack. It's not a paywall either. I know people tend to think that, but it isn't. But what I want to do is kind of breathe some new life into the YouTube channel, which I've been really neglecting for the last few months. And I'll share a few thoughts on something which I think is kind of funny and kind of interesting, which I've noticed on the internet, which is this sort of esoteric Starmerism, or to be more accurate, just the sort of the, what we've got, I think. If you think of it, last year we had this like UK thing about the UK population and the nation being kind of terraformed and deterritorialized and changed into something else, which wasn't quite itself, but still had elements poking through and all the rest of it. Which I think it's one of these kind of theory cell things that you can just sort of mull over in your head. And I think one of the things that's like that this year is this sort of esoteric Starmerism, which I see. So obviously it's our dear leader, Keir Starmer, and we're 2 years into the age of Starmer, and it's turned out a little bit different. Now a lot of people mentioned the video that I did about how the UK would turn into like a woke North Korea under Keir Starmer. And I don't think it's actually happened to the degree that I sort of toyed around with. Obviously, we still get like the daily rape. We still have two-tier policing. I mean, that's part of what the vibe Starmer gives off. But what I find interesting about Starmer is that because he's such a kind of void of charisma and like he's unlikable. Nobody likes him on any side of the political spectrum. That he's become this kind of strange mirror where whatever your political priors are, you look into start you gaze into the empty void that is Starmer, and you see your own politics staring back at you in one way or another, or the opposite. Everybody looks in there. I would say everybody except one group, which I'm going to come into later, looks at Starmer and feels repulsion, or they feel like there's something repellent there, or something they don't understand. Because you can go through all of the different aspects of the various political blocks, and you'll see that everybody is alienated for all of their own reasons. So just to take the most obvious one is what you can think of as the working class patriot types, the type of people who go on a Tommy Robinson march. Well, obviously they all, I was watching the Tommy March the other day, and they all kind of think that Starmer is this Stalinist sort of figure. He's running a police state, and he's pure evil, and all of these policies that have come in are like next level totalitarian and all the rest of it. And I just think this is kind of bullshit, because almost all of the negative consequences that we get and the policies that have come in came in under the Tories. More people were going to jail under the Tories. If anything, they've even dialed it back a little bit, which is why I'm hesitant to sort of reinforce that point about woke North Korea. But you can see that he's become this figure of pure left-wing communism, totalitarianism, and this feeds into the MAGA base as well, where it's this idea that we're all living under Sharia law, and basically, and there's some truth to the fact that Starmer does kind of cozy up to Muslims a little bit, but there's this idea that we're all living under Sharia law, we all live under communism, Islamo-communism. And you'll see MAGA influencers talking about this quite a lot. And that feeds into a movement which is adjacent to the main MAGA movement, like Tommy Robinson, where I mean, they're all serving the same masters. And funny enough, of course, because of the situation in Iran, Starmer's isolated all of those Marstas, and then the base would have always hated Starmer. So you've got like this huge chunk where the kind of the Zionist-aligned American regime despise Starmer for that reason, because he's not neocon enough for them. And then all of the base despise him because of the way he handled Southport, which was a disaster, but also because he's seen as this like Islamo-communist dictator or something like that, who's made a secret pact with the Muslims to bring Sharia law in. And this gets everybody excited, and you can sing a gospel chant, like evangelical stuff, which seems to be brought in from America, you know. But that's not real Christianity. It's sort of Pete Hegsethianity. And that comes in and it plays all into that. But then you've got the kind of the normal Tia shitlib who just aren't excited with Keir Starmer either, because they think he's dull and humorless. And he doesn't code well to sit with her at a dinner party or go to the opera with in London, in the way that somebody like Andy Burnham does, or perhaps even Tony Blair. And anyway, they've got like also the Lib Dems and the Green Party, depending on how retarded and full woke he wanted to go. So even the kind of sort of cookie cutter shitlib doesn't like Starmer either. And then you've got the more kind of Palestine left. Well, they don't like it either, because he's been putting them in jail, because they are pushing him too far to the other side. So then, you know, you've got these people coming out trying to raise awareness and getting a bit rowdy because of his take on the Palestine protests and stuff. So they all hate him as well. They all think he's also probably, they think he's probably a fascist. They think he's too right wing, probably too closely aligned with Donald Trump. And so everybody hates him for all of their own reasons. But what I really wanted to talk about was that I find it very interesting that in the sort of the online right, the hard right, maybe because of all of this, that there's been this kind of grudging respect emerging for Keir Starmer. There's this idea that, well, firstly, he didn't put us all in concentration camps. But then secondly, when you look at the way he treats the fact of being unpopular, deeply unpopular, he simply doesn't care. He doesn't care one bit. And it makes you wonder, what kind of a creature actually is he? Because again, there's nothing there, there's just a void, there's just an emptiness there. And you begin to realize, and I'm not the first person to say this, but you begin to realize that actually Keir Starmer is in many ways a pure manifestation of the British state, of law and legalese and proceduralism and jurisprudence. And the laws, of course, in this sort of fallen world that we live in, are mainly bullshit, because they're mainly made up for political convenience. Power will decide that this or that thing has to happen, or this or that thing should be made illegal, and then it will just write a law to make that happen. And Keir Starmer's the kind of person who is so autistic in his own way that once that law is down on paper, then that becomes a kind of absolutism, a sort of mandate from heaven. So the bureaucracy has kind of shat out or made this kind of little legalistic loophole somewhere, and then this becomes Keir Starmer's gospel. And this is why I think some people kind of respect it, because there's an honesty to it. It isn't lying. It isn't coming out with a load. I mean, he talks in politically correct gobbledygook, but nobody really believes it. He kneels for Black Lives Matter, but nobody really thinks. I don't think he thinks anything of that. It's just because That's what was demanded of him at the time. But deep down, fundamentally, it's just about law. And behind law is the state. And so you get this sort of situation that we're in Britain, where there is no higher morality or all forms of higher morality. So let's say the church or the royal family or all of these institutions have all been hollowed out and made sort of wafer thin and flimsy, and nobody really believes in them anymore. Yet the state remains. The state is all that remains. And it doesn't have anything outside of itself as a form of reference. It's just a kind of law unto itself, which perpetuates itself for no reason than other to perpetuate itself, like a kind of virus. And usually the politicians that it brings forth have a bit of showmanship, or they have a bit of a belief system in something else. It could be like Corbyn, where he believes in Palestine or the Palestinian people. Or it could be somebody like Boris Johnson, who believes in Israel and war. Or it could be somebody like Tony Blair, who also believes in war and Israel, but also a kind of technocratic bureaucracy just smothering the world. And when you get to a kind of the purest point of it, when you get to it in its perfect manifestation, what you have is just an emptiness, just a kind of bureaucratic suit. And it's as if it's a form that has been perfected. It has reached its final fulfillment. And this is why Keir Starmer doesn't care. He doesn't care about anything because he has the law. His whole party, all of the media, everybody will be lined up and stacked against him. But as long as he is legally correct, even if that's dubious, even if the law was just sort of invented yesterday, or it's kind of a convenient loophole some lawyer pointed out, then that's good. That's good enough, because the system is all that matters. The system becomes an orthodoxy. And when you understand how to navigate it and how to go through the loopholes, you become sort of all-powerful if you're in his position. And so he doesn't feel the moral weight of the fact that the left hate his guts and his own party want him out. He doesn't feel the pressure of the media saying, well, come on, it's time to go. The walls are closing in now. He doesn't feel the walls. He doesn't feel the closing in. He doesn't care, because he's operating to something different, something higher, the state, and there's nothing outside of the state. It's like when people talk about Thomas Hobbes, they usually talk it from the perspective of the state of nature, with everybody running around butchering each other, and instead of like the state at the top of it to prevent it all. And eventually, in this kind of postmodern sort of Baudrillardian way, we end up where the manifestation of the state and ultimate power is just nothing. It's just pure emptiness, because it doesn't have anything within. It'll just make things up. And this is what Keir Starmer has perfected. And because of that, I think there's certain people like on the right who look into that and see something else. Like earlier I said, well, you see your own politics reflecting back at you. And I think that kind of honesty of where we are is kind of refreshing in a way, because it isn't bullshitting you anymore. It's just, and moreover, you can say, it would be nice if we could do that, if we could be in that position, because then we could just change the laws. There's nothing sacred about these laws. None of these laws came from God. They're all just got, most of them got conjured up in some think tank or workshop by some feminist or some other twat who nobody would like and nobody would have a drink with. And this is exactly what Starmer represents. But he represents it faithfully and truthfully. And you could have another set of laws, because the laws don't matter. You could have another set of laws that you make up, which you want, but maybe you believe in something more than the current system does. You could turn this way of thinking around and actually do it for good, rather than just to perpetuate the system itself for on and on and on, until the sun burns out. Just some rambling thoughts on Starmerism there, folks.